We are apologize for the late start, and we will get started on Senate Bill 409, open a public hearing on Senate Bill 409. And I see Senator Girod in the audience here, so we'll call.
Can we give you a little summary?
Yeah, let's have Jim give us a quick summary.
Vice Chair Starr and members of the committee, Senate Bill 409 creates an antitrust immunity for Oregon Blackberry Cooperatives supervised by the Director of Agriculture.
Very good. Senator.
Chair Starr and the members of the committee, for the record, my name is Senator Fred Girod. I represent Senate District 9, which includes rural Lynn, Marion, and Clackamas County. Senate Bill 409 is a fairly simple bill. It allows blackberry growers to negotiate price with processors. Currently, statute allows this type of negotiation for producers of ryegrass, fescue seed, as well as several seafood commodities such as crab. I just want you to know that blackberries are fairly important in my district. There's about 7,100 acres of blackberries harvested in Oregon and contribute about $28 million to the economy. Oregon rates number one in blackberry production, and it's not a wonder that it's about 99%+ of all blackberries are grown in Oregon. And just so that you know, some of the blackberry doesn't mean just blackberry. That would include Marion berries, some boysenberries, evergreen, blackberry, sylvan, cotata, black diamond, and Chester's, to mention a few. So it's a lot of different berries. So this is a pretty simple bill. I'll leave it to the advocates of the bill to kind of fill you in on the rest of it, but this is something I think most everybody can get behind. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Other questions? Senator Girod? Thank you very much. Next, let's have Brent Searle from the Department of Ag.
Vice Chair Starr, members of the committee, my name is Brent Searle. I'm Special Assistant to the Director at the Department of Agriculture. I have a copy of my statement coming around. What I'll try to do is give you more of a background on this process and a bit of the legal structure that's required in order to do this. This is creating a process called state action immunity. It's fairly unique. We're using this here in Oregon in several sectors. It does four primary things. It provides antitrust immunity to the parties involved, and I'll go into that in a little more detail briefly. It enables the parties to share information all at one time, and that's a very key benefit of this. Get all the parties at the table, and they can talk about supply, demand, inventory, and so forth to the extent we can convince them to share that information. It allows the parties to have a voice in developing a reasonable price for their product. And many times you'll hear from growers that they are price takers, they don't have any input, and they often get told what their price is going to be after they've harvested. And finally, it can help stabilize industry price over time. We've seen that in other sectors. So briefly, Capra-Volstead Act, passed by Congress in 1922, is what gives the framework for growers to organize in cooperatives and pool their products and negotiate and gives them a stronger voice in the market. Growers, once they form these bargaining cooperatives through that process, can negotiate individually with dealers, but they can't bring more than one dealer together because the dealers don't have antitrust immunity. So this process, called state action immunity, is the mechanism that gets beyond that hurdle to bring more than one dealer in the room together to negotiate a price for the commodity. Groundwork for this was established in 2001 here in Oregon under House Bill 3811, and it created this process for one segment of the industry for perennial ryegrass, and we've been supervising that process for the last 8 years. And so this bill would add on to those commodities that are currently under this process with the department. And again, just going down to the precedent there, that was the initial bill, and then in 2003, Senate Bill 673 was passed by the legislature, and this enabled the seafood industry to engage in this process. And we've supervised negotiations for Dungeness crab and pink shrimp under negotiations there. In 2005, the legislature passed House Bill 3461 that expanded the grass seed sector to include tall fescue and annual ryegrass, and the industry is just starting into tall fescue discussions under this process. I would note that the process is voluntary for all the parties. They can choose to come to the table or not, and we certainly encourage as many as we can invite to the table to come. It provides more information, enables more people to have a voice in the outcome of that process. We believe it's been a helpful and successful process in many aspects. I'll go into a little bit of detail on the department's role and the legal background for this. We worked very closely with the Attorney General on the initial bill that provided for this process, and these are the two primary hurdles it has to clear in for state law to enable this process. And this is as a result of Supreme Court decisions around state action immunity. And this has been used in many different industries across the country, and these are the hurdles that the Supreme Court looks at. Whether the statute providing immunity clearly identifies the market activity that will be displaced. So in this case, competitive pricing to a certain degree. So by bringing the parties together to negotiate, that is stated in the statute. And secondly, it requires a state agency to be involved at all times through the whole process to supervise it, so there aren't antitrust violations going on by the parties. And we believe Senate Bill 409 satisfies those requirements. The department's required to be actively involved, and you can see the kind of the six requirements of what that means. It's more than just rubber stamping the outcome of the negotiations. We have to be involved, supervising, reviewing the minutes, present at all the negotiations. The director has to approve or disapprove the price when this is done based on all the information presented. So the state has to have an active role in this and be involved, and that is in essence what gives antitrust protection. We have to make sure these hurdles are covered. We will probably go into rule adoption. We've done that for each of these sectors, so we tailor it to what the parties in that industry feel is most helpful. The rules have been different for grass seed and seafood and so forth, and I would note that this is a fee-for-service process. The department collects a fee. There's no state general fund involved. So, in summary, again, this process enables the growers, the farmers and their buyers to come together. It speeds up the process of finding a market price for them covers the anti-immunity issues. I understand there'll be a couple amendments suggested here, and we've looked at those and would support those amendments. Thank you, and I'd be glad to respond to any questions.
Yes, thank you very much for your testimony. Are there questions for Mr. Searle? No questions.
Mr. Vice Chair, I would point out that the two amendments are attached to your packets. You want me to describe the
yeah,
first
cool.
amendment?
Yes,
the dash one amendment adds an emergency clause, makes the measure effective upon passage. Otherwise, it would be effective January 1st of next year. The dash two amendment prohibits a person who is both a dealer and a cooperative member from participating in the price negotiations.
Okay. Great. Roger Beyer, and I don't know if you want to bring a couple of guests with you? Mr. Heitz and Mr. Butchler?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair and members of the committee. I'm Roger Beyer. I'm here representing the Blackberry Bargaining Association on Senate Bill 409. First, I'd like to thank Senators Girard and Schrader as being co-sponsors of this bill. I will just very briefly speak to the two amendments you have in front of you, and I'll let Mr. Height and Mr. Boxer, they are blackberry growers, they know more about this than I could ever hope to or dream of knowing about growing blackberries on a good price for them. You have in the packet I've handed out to you a one-page paper talking about the reasons for cooperative farm bargaining and price negotiations. That is excerpt from the Cooperative Information Report number 26 of the federal USDA as provided by the blackberry growers. The amendments that you have in front of you, as you first heard, the 401-409-1 is simply an emergency clause. The reason that is important is because the season for the blackberry growers, their harvest season is in July and August. If we do not have an emergency clause on this bill, the process won't be able to have any real effect for them until the 2010 season, and they would like to have it happen a little sooner than that. Department of Ag said if the bill is passed early enough in the session, they'd be able to implement temporary rules and have a bargaining process in place prior to the July harvest season. The second amendment, the Dash 2 amendments, very briefly, it actually does two things, and Mr. Stembridge identified one of them as being that it does not allow a person who's both a co-op member to sit on both capacities. What the amendment also does is that under the current law, the definition of a dealer is in 646.515. That specifically excludes co-ops from being part of this process. In this arena, in the blackberry processing, there are some large co-op who currently buy a lot of product. This amendment in line four allows those co-op members to be part of that process, providing two things. First, it has to be approved by the Department of Agriculture for them to be involved. Secondly, a person who is on the co-op board could not sit on the bargaining association board at the same time. So they would not be bargaining against themselves, so to speak. So those are the two amendments. I will let Mr. Height and Mr. Boxer speak to the bill and the reasons and the need for the bill. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Yes.
My name is Leonard Height. I've been a blackberry grower for 35 years. I'm also executive secretary of the Blackberry Bargaining Association. Raising blackberries is a high-risk agriculture venture. It is also a very expensive crop to raise. Margins of profits are usually very low or non-existent. The fruit is highly perishable and must be processed within a matter of hours. Once the fruit is received by the processor, the grower has virtually no control over the fruits. There are many growers, approximately 400 blackberry growers, with about 6,000 acres of total blackberries for this coming year. This means that most growers are quite small, 15 acres as an average. Because of this small size, no one grower has the ability or processing facilities to keep possession of their fruit once they are harvested. Many years, the price for this fruit is not decided by the processor until well into the harvest season or until after the harvest season is complete. Blackberries have been raised commercially for many years. I personally have raised them, and this includes the Marion Blackberry, for 35 years. During all these years, the growers have not had any input into the price they receive for their fruit. Because of the antitrust laws, growers have been prevented as a group from negotiating the process for prices. Senate Bill 409 addresses these issues in a unique way. It allows growers to form into associations to negotiate with all processors at the same time. This is done with Oregon Department of Agriculture Division. It does not force anyone to participate, either growers or processors. Only those involved in the negotiations who come to an agreement will be bound by such an agreement. Thus, Senate Bill 409 allows a freedom for growers and processors to negotiate prices, something which neither has had in the past. I understand that the Marion Blackberry may soon become the Oregon State Berry. The Marion Blackberry is a keystone of the blackberry industry. We as growers want to keep this industry alive in Oregon, and we want it to be prosperous for us and for all of Oregon. Thank you. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Thank you.
Please.
My name's Wayne Boxler. I'm a blackberry grower, marionberry grower. I've raised for 25 years. I'm the president of the Blackberry Bargaining Association. And just my simple statement, I guess, of why I think this is important is we've got an industry that it's at a point now where the way the pricing is done is the growers really don't have any say in what the price of the blackberries are, and we kind of, if you will, we kind of take the leftovers after a price is discovered in the industry, which it really works from the top down, and the industry comes to a point of, okay, here's what we can give the growers as a price, but if there's movement in the pricing, it generally, we are kind of the flexible number, if you will. So if there's any give and take, it is really on our end, and this will be a way for the growers to collect information with the processors in a meeting. It allows us to hopefully come to a price discovery. Of course, it's fully voluntary, so no grower or no packer will be mandated to join us. We could have a meeting, and there may not be any price discovery, and that would be fine, but there hopefully would be information shared, which maybe the following year or the following meeting we would have something to build on and move on. And really, that's the main focus of this, is just hopefully some price discovery, but really the main focus is information, and as an industry, hopefully coming together and trying to see what we can do to maybe stabilize things, whether it's production, pricing, but as a group, so that everybody, it's all out front and nobody's left behind. They have an opportunity to join in and maybe make things a little better, possibly. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there any questions for any of these? Senator George?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I've told all of you I have great discomfort with this bill. I'm uncomfortable with it, basically because of my own personal experience. My family were growers. We felt the same way you all did. My brother and I started a processing company, and what we found was that the bargaining association in our industry actually did everything they could to stop us from competing with the establishment processors. It took 10 years of us paying about 10% more than everybody else, 10 to 15% more than anybody else, before they finally realized it was safe to go, because there was an attempt to exclude new processors. And now the price is shoved up every single year because there's so much competition among the processors to get our product that it drives the price up every single year now. And it's excellent for the growers. And the growers in our industry are very much benefited by this kind of hyper-competition. And what I guess I'm concerned about is that when I see these things come forward, what my experience is it limits new incoming processors into the business that could help the growers in the long term. And these tend to set minimum export prices. I'm not going to have to tell you how to run your industry, and I'm not going to stand in the way of you running your industry, but I want to point out that this has not always worked to the benefit of the growers, and I just want your comments on that. As far as how do you stop the elimination of competition in the processor side?
Well, Senator George, we would welcome more processors. We, in the past 20 to 25 years, we have probably lost 15 packers at least in this industry, and that is part of our problem, is less packers to take, less opportunity for the grower to go someplace else, and what it's caused is a small group of packers being able to control the industry a little more than what really would be more optimal. If I could have one wish, I would love to see 3, 4, 5 packers start up this year. I mean, it would greatly help our industry. That would be excellent. But it's, as you know, it's expensive for the equipment for a packer to start. But in our my perspective, the bargaining association's perspective, we'd love to see more packers.
I guess the question, when I see these things, I see these as being inhibiting entry into the market. So how do we make sure that this doesn't have the opposite effect of what you want, I guess? I don't know which way you can do that. How do we make sure that this opens up for more processors to enter the market rather than the other way around. Because in our industry, it had the exact opposite effect.
Mr. Chair, Senator George, you and I had this conversation a little bit in your office, and I guess my perspective is that your experience is through the Filbert Bargaining Association, and the Filbert Bargaining Association does not have the antitrust immunity, so that you only meet with one packer at a single time. And from what your experience that you described to me was that those packers were using those isolated meetings in order to suppress markets and reduce prices to the grower groups because they could, because the other group people were not hearing what they were telling the grower groups. The purpose of this bill, and this association can already do that. They can already bargain with one packer at a time. But what the experience has been in the other commodities that this has been tried in and has successfully worked in Oregon, by bringing all the packers or all the processors into the room at the same time, everyone getting the information at the same time, they are unable to, I guess, hide information or give half-truths of information because the other people are there at the same time and they know it. So it has led to a more open dialogue rather than of suppression of information, and I believe that, you know, could help. I can't guarantee it will help get more packers into the process or into the industry. Market conditions probably more dictate that than anything, but I believe it's better than the alternative, which is what we have today, where the Growers Association has to meet with each packer individually.
I guess, Roger, the situation in our industry is that our grower association actually refuses to bargain with certain processors because they have certain favorite processors that they view are, in essence, what the institution creates, a good old boys club. And that's what I'm trying to get at, is that I guess I'd encourage you. I mean, it's your industry, so you're going to make these decisions. But I would encourage you to, if there's new processors starting up, if there's new competition, you guys grab that and pull those folks right in. Because what you don't want to do is create a good old boys network that locks people out to the benefit of a few. And that's all I'd say to you is that I think it's very, very scary line to walk when you create an institution that can, in essence, eliminate competition. So that'd be my only comment. Thank you, Mr.
Senator Verger had a question.
Thank you. We've had a similar thing with the processors with seafood, where we get fewer and fewer, and that does make it less competitive, and it does make it harder. I guess that I have a question that maybe is not just directed at this, and that is that those of us who really enjoy the berries that you grow and sit in positions of where we make policy and public policy, do you feel that you have regulations that that government interferes and that you're not able to do the kind of business that you want to do? In other words, are we helping you have better business and do business in an easier way, or are we standing in the way and making it more difficult for you?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Verger, you know, I would say the only thing that really kind of stands in the way of growers for bargaining is the antitrust laws, and this bill kind of helps grant immunity to some of that. So, I mean, that grants us a freedom, which as growers we'd like to have.
Sure. Okay.
Senator Schrader.
Yeah, I would just like to make one comment as someone who had a conversation prior to the meeting, was a berry grower, actually. Certainly not in your commodity industry, but strawberries. And one of the reasons I was supportive of this particular model was it would seem to me that it would give some certainty and stability to the growers as well as the processors. I appreciate your comment, Senator, about, again, this notion of competition, but my hope would be, assuming this bill moves forward, and I hope it does, that we will get that on the record. Keep that in mind and think of it in terms of not eliminating competition, but at least adding some stability in the commodity market for both parties as they negotiate together for fair prices. So it was one of the reasons from my past experience, knowing what it's like to grow these, to grow berries, knowing all the uncertainty we have to deal with anyway, to inject some certainty at least in this part of the process. So.
Thank you. Any other questions for this panel? Thank you all very much. Appreciate you coming. Appreciate your testimony. We have two more signed up to testify, Mr. Dave Dunn and Mr. John McCulley. If you would come forward. You just introduce yourself for the record. You, Mr. Dunn, go ahead and proceed.
Yes, Senator Metzger and the chairman, my name is Dave Dunn, and I am a handler of the berries. We have a processing facility. It's Willamette Valley Fruit Company, and I have a 15 years in the berry business, so I feel like I'm pretty knowledgeable about how this program is working. And so I come as a neutral party as far as how I signed up on the sheet of paper, because I'm caught in the middle. I handle the berries from the grower, and I also sell the fruit to the end user. And so it creates a unique situation, because the buying end that I deal with has pretty strong feelings about if there's anything that they interpret as being a way to try to manipulate pricing. But the reality of our industry is it's broke, and it has been broke for a number of years. And the problem is, in my perspective, is that we don't have a price for the grower until well into the processing season. Sometimes the processing season is completely over. So I have a flexible cost that I can use. And from a processor's perspective, if that fits into my business plan to have a flexible price that I can go out and market, it makes my business pretty easy for me in a lot of ways, because I go out to the end user with an anticipated price that I want to try to sell my product for, and they shop that around to the various competitors in the industry, which are few. And they basically come back and tell me that you're okay, we're ready to cut your order, or no, you're not okay, I'm getting some numbers somewhere else that are better. And so then all I have to do is go back to the grower base and say, markets didn't hold up, here's where things are headed. And as a result of that, we're strongholding the growers in this industry, because they have no way to bargain with us for what is a fair field price prior to delivery of their fruit. We hold these people hostage. They have a perishable crop. They don't have any way to negotiate what they're doing. We have to go out to the industry and let them tell us what they're willing to give us for it. Then we have to go back to these folks at some point and say, well, I'm sorry, but this is the way that it is. I personally don't like doing business that way. That's not the way that our company wants to build our business, which we were a brand new berry processor back in 1999 when people were crazy to get into the industry. Mm-hmm. We did it because we felt like there was a better way to do business and a better way to deal with the customers, and we've been successful with our company through what we believe is a better way to do business. Unfortunately, the way that it's done now, because there's such so small players that only one or two of the largest players out there can control what happens in this industry. And I think what the growers that I'm in communication with and who I'm talking to are saying is, we want to be part of the process. We want to understand supply and demand. We want to understand the markets. We want to know what to do on our farm. And we need somebody to come and tell us what we should plant and help us in the decision-making process, because they're all committed to the berries, they're committed to Oregon, and they want to stay in the business. And so from my perspective, I think that we need help in able to make this a fair way to negotiate what happens out on the farm. It takes away the flexibility so that I can go out and market a price based on what I know I'm going to pay for it, not based on what the buyers come back and tell me they're willing to do. And I just think that it would be more fair. I appreciate your listening.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. McCulley?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm John McCulley here representing the Agriculture Cooperative Council of Oregon. We have no position on the bill as drafted, but just wanted to bring some concern, if you will, on the Dash 2 amendments because it does change policy that is explicitly stated in the statute under 646515. Cooperatives, agriculture cooperatives, and seafood cooperatives are specifically excluded from the definition of dealer under that statute. So this is a fairly significant policy departure from that. And I personally have not had an opportunity. I just saw this amendment this afternoon at the start of the hearing, had an opportunity to run this by cooperatives who might be affected by this amendment. It may be fine, but I would just like that opportunity to at least talk to them to make sure that they believe this is okay with them. And it may be, and there'd be no problem with the bill. But it is a significant change in policy as a result of making this amendment.
Okay, there's some questions. Senator Verger.
How could that be, John? I mean, it says it's that a dealer is already defined in the ORS.
Mr. Chair, Senator Verger, and part of that definition in ORS 646515 includes specifically that for purposes of this statute, a cooperative, agriculture cooperative or seafood cooperative, is not a dealer.
Oh.
So this would be changing that pretty significantly.
Just the opposite,
yes.
Other questions? Senator Schrader, do you have a question?
No, I'm okay.
Senator George? For either one of the witnesses? Okay, very good. Thank you very much, both of you, for your testimony.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify on Senate Bill 409? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 409. And based on the testimony from Mr. McCulley, I think we'll just hold that bill for a while.
Okay.
I'll return the gavel to the chair.
Thank you, Senator Starr. And Mr. McCulley, if you could, with expeditious time, get back to the proponents of the bill as well as the committee on that. I would appreciate it very much.
You could carry this over to Wednesday or come back later than that.
Okay, let's open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 185. Mr. Stembridge.
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 185 authorizes the State Department of Agriculture to enter into contracts with foreign entities for the provision of agricultural horticultural products and processes, including inspection and testing.
Okay, we have Dalton Hobbs from the Department of Agriculture.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Dalton Hobbs, Assistant Director of the Oregon Department of Agriculture. Senate Bill 185 provides, what it does is it provides clear authority for the Department of Agriculture to inspect, sample, and test imported as well as exported agricultural products. These monitoring tools will help encourage and determine levels of compliance with both state and federal food safety standards as well as phytosanitary standards. And monitoring and documenting the compliance level of Oregon products also will increase their acceptance into export markets. And I think if you note a few weeks ago, last week, that Oregon agricultural products have been increasing in terms of one of our exported products. So the export markets for our products is very, very important. This bill will modify ORS 556 or 561 by adding foreign entities to a list of entities which we are currently or already authorized to enter into contracts and agreements. The department has had significant interest both from U.S. companies wishing to export as well as other companies that wish to import products in terms of providing testing and certification programs. And this piece of legislation will clarify what we believe is existing authority to do so.
Okay. Why don't you tell us just briefly a little bit about, for example, how this might play out with the food. We talked about this when your offices last year, like with China. Just give us a kind of a real-life example of what this testing agreement might do.
Well, the Department of Agriculture currently has a memorandum of understanding with the government of China to test and pre-certify products for import into the United States to ensure that they meet all current FDA as well as state requirements in terms of food safety. This is a major development from a standpoint of ensuring safety prior to the product coming here. Many Oregon companies import these food and food products as ingredients or other products, and we believe that this is an important part of increasing the level of understanding. On a voluntary basis and on a fee-for-service basis, at no cost, no cost to Oregon taxpayer.
Any questions?
Senator
Verger.
How long have you had this agreement with China?
We signed the Memorandum of Understanding in November of 2007.
Not very long.
Not very long, no.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
There's great concern in our country about foods coming in from foreign countries.
Right.
And we have had deaths, experienced deaths in our country. Do you feel like this memorandum of understanding is understood by the Chinese that we are not going to be faced with this? I know many people will not buy anything unless it has United States of America on it.
Right. Chair Metzger, Senator Verger, that's a very good observation. And what we've been able to do with the relationship with China is to begin to pretest to U.S. standards on a 100% basis rather than the current 1% basis that food products are surveilled by the Food and Drug Administration. And this is an affirmative system rather than simply a 1% spot check, which is currently done. And it will ensure a better understanding of the products that are imported here and consumed here in the state of Oregon. And it truly does respond to these concerns that people have in terms of these products.
Just a comment, Mr. Yeah. Chair, and that is that, you know, there's really an effort to get everything labeled.
Right.
So if it's grown in China or sent to us or what other countries as well.
Right.
And quite frankly, I'm in favor of that. I maybe after you've been doing this for a while and we'll get more comfortable, but right now I think there's an extreme discomfort.
Mr. Hobbs, have you had conversations with the Ways and Means Subcommittee? Are they anticipating this as part of your overall budget? It's not in the governor's budget, but are they aware of this?
I believe that there is no budget authority that goes with this piece of legislation. So from that standpoint, and I'll defer to my colleague, Mr. Henderson.
Lauren, have we had discussions with...
Well, come on up forward.
Yeah, come on up.
Because I just do,
yeah.
You know, I realize this pencils out, but it has a 283 expenditure and a 283 revenue.
Right.
And, you know, those numbers, we're going to get some members wondering why the bill is where it's at.
For the record, Lauren Henderson, Assistant Director with the Department of Agriculture, Chair Metzger. I think there actually was maybe some confusion between maybe our budget shop and LFO. This bill... was part of the governor's budget introduced, and we already have spending authority for programs that are fee-for-service programs within our existing resources. And so much of what this calls out is already limitation that we already have. It's really hard to define what the financial cost could be because we're not doing it yet. This just gives us the clear authority to be able to point to the statute that says, no, we have the authority on the import-export side. That's particularly, Senator Verger, important on the food safety side. We want to make sure our food safety staff have the ability, if they need to pull products, that they can do that. That's part of our existing food safety program and our food safety budget. We can work with LFO.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think what we need to do, just because in these tough times when, you know, we go to the floor and they just see the numbers, they're going to wonder why it isn't Ways and Means, and I don't want to send you there if I don't need to send you there,
right.
But it sounds like you're budget people and there needs to talk and we need to have a resolution because it's. I think the committee's happy to move this forward and I'd rather do it expeditiously,
right.
But I can't do it with this revenue statement at the moment. So what I'd like to do is... have you talk, and Mr. Stembridge, we'll see if we get a revised one from revenue or further direction, and then we'll move the bill forward one way or another, but we'll try to see if we can get some clarity on that. Is that all right?
Very well. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so let's close the public hearing on Senate Bill 185 and open up a hearing on Senate Bill 186. Mr. Hobbs.
Yes, this is a closely related piece of legislation, Mr. Chair, that... again, provides additional clarity to ORS 576 and adds production and processing as a further refinement of our existing authority to provide assistance to producers to develop both efficient distribution and marketing systems and import and export and markets. So it's a fairly straightforward piece of sort of housekeeping measure, and there is no fiscal impact on this.
Would you explain to me a little bit how this works? What I mean, you say it's an existing authority to provide assistance,
right,
for distribution and marketing.
Right.
Give me some real-life examples here.
The Oregon Department of Agriculture, thank you, Mr. Chair. The Oregon Department of Agriculture for nearly 50 years has provided assistance to Oregon agricultural producers in developing markets for their products. And these can be in both domestic settings, such as the work that we're doing currently for our farm-to-school program or our farmers' markets, or it can be in export settings where we've developed markets, for instance, in the 1970s for French fries in Japan. We've developed markets for nursery stock in China, et cetera. And what this does is it adds to our existing authority the clarity or the clarification that we're adding processing to the processed food products to the authority that we currently have.
Okay. Questions from the committee? Any concerns from the committee? There is no fiscal or revenue statement on this bill. So with that, we'll just close the public hearing and open a work session.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill 186 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
The Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 186 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion?
Chair?
Yes, Senator George.
I would need you to declare a potential conflict of interest in the bill since I own a food processing company.
Okay. So Senator George's potential conflict is noted. Is there any other discussion? Any objection? So ordered. So, is this anybody's bill in particular? Okay. I'm going to reopen the work session on Senate Bill 186. Ask that the rules be suspended that Senator Schrader may cast a vote on Senate Bill 86. Is there any objection? If not, so ordered. Senator Schrader, how do you vote on Senate Bill 186?
I vote aye.
She votes aye. Okay, work session is closed. Hey, would you be willing to carry this bill, Senator Dirk? You're our ag guy. Okay. Thanks. We're adjourned.